So today we're going to be going through a passage in 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. And this is a story about God's unusual provision for Elijah. I think it's so awesome that God provides through unusual ways so that we will be able to give him all the glory for the things he's done. He will do the impossible so that we will know with him all things are possible. And as we learn through this story, as Pastor Chuck has said many times, where God guides, God provides. He will lead us step by step as he did for Elijah. Sometimes we're asked to activate our faith by taking a physical step in the direction he's asking us to go in. Elijah was asked to take a physical step towards Zarephath, which was enemy territory. But like Elijah, we just need to seek him and hear his voice and go where he says. We can trust him. It's not always going to make sense, but it's only one step at a time. We need to be in a place of hearing his voice and being receptive to it. Be in the word so that he can speak and confirm this direction that he's having you go in. There's well-meaning people out there that will tell you a direction, but make sure that God confirms it before you walk in it. It was so cool this week. I have an amazing little daughter that turned 13, and God just gave me this great passage and just the time I spent with him that morning, and I was able to give her a word that I knew was for her. And it was so awesome because I printed it out and I had her highlight the things that God was telling her to do. And it was just awesome. Just through my quiet time with the Lord, God was able to provide for her. And it just boosted my faith. It boosted her faith. It gave us that sweet fellowship together. So I love that. So like in this story, it's not only just for us, just like God did for Anna through me this week. God can provide and show himself to others through us. It may seem impossible, but as we walk it out, we will see that nothing is impossible with our God. So before we get into this study, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to come together to talk about your word, to talk about you, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Thank you for Joyful Life. Thank you that we have a privilege of coming together in this fellowship. I pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears to those things that you have to say to us, Lord, so that we can take those physical steps in the directions you're telling us to go in. Jesus' name, amen. So my dad loves peanuts. And I was at his office not that long ago, and there was a little cartoon on one of those flip calendars, and it was Linus talking to Charlie Brown, and Linus goes, "When I get big, I want to be a prophet." And it just made me smile because I was thinking, I don't know if I want to be an Old Testament prophet. God asked him to do some crazy things so they could be living examples of what was going on in the hearts of God's people, God's chosen people, as they walk contrary to God's ways. But there are things about the Old Testament prophets that I want to demonstrate in my own life. Just like Cheryl talked about in the last lesson, Elijah demonstrated holy boldness because he walked in close proximity to his God, to our God. He knew him. He knew his God. He knew his voice. He knew and believed in his word. He knew God's word was just that, God's words, that they had absolute authority. And because of this, he was able to speak forth God's word as he talked to King Ahab, which would be pretty scary, with holy boldness. He was a man of prayer. So when he was given a direction, even a direction that maybe didn't make logical sense, he knew he had heard from God. He did what God said and walked into God's directions. He walked by faith, not by sight. He demonstrated complete dependence on the living God. And God showed up every time. God did impossible things like bring water and bread and meat to Elijah in an unusual place and in an unusual way. God takes him to a place where there was no way of getting any provisions unless it was by the very hand of God. Then he feeds him with ravens. The crazy thing about ravens is not only are they unclean birds, which would be an absolute no-no, but they're also birds that neglect their own young. God did it this way so that he and we would know this was no natural act. This was the very hand of God. In our story, Elijah was found waiting on the Lord at the brook that had dried up. Once again, God was going to bring him to an unusual place where Elijah would get to see God's hand of provision in unusual ways. But this time, he'd also get to see God's hand of provision for others. We'll be reading this passage in 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. I'm going to be reading it in the NLT, but I just encourage you to take out your Bible, open the pages, and follow along in whatever version you're in. I think it's so fun to go through these different versions and really like expand our understanding on what the passage is trying to teach us and tell us. So 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. So we're going to start in verse 7. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go. I think there's something that we can learn from Elijah right here. He was waiting on the Lord. He didn't move when the brook dried up. He waited for God to speak. He didn't look at the signs. He waited to hear God's voice. How many times do we run ahead of the voice of God? Maybe God hasn't told us to move, but here we are moving. We run ahead of the Lord's voice because it seems to make sense at that moment. Elijah had every reason to move on. There's no water. I should move. But he didn't. He waits to hear God's voice. Elijah was so dependent on God's voice, and he trusted God's direction so completely and believed in God's promise for provision so much so that he waits. How often do we say, I don't like this place anymore. I'm uncomfortable in this place. I'm not getting what I should be getting out of this place. Maybe you're saying, my boss is not my favorite person. So we move on. If you know God moved you somewhere, I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. But be of good cheer. His ways and his timing are perfect. Wait for him to direct you again. Maybe you've even felt like, okay, I moved here. Now I don't know if God told me to move here. I'm going to encourage you to wait there also. Just wait to hear God's voice. He is so faithful. He will not let you down. Be in that place of hearing his voice through his word and through prayer. In his perfect time, and if it's his perfect will, he will move you on. And it will be in ways that bring him much glory and strengthens our faith. It will show the world God's ways are higher than our ways. Maybe he has you there for someone else, just like he was going to send Elijah to someone else to provide not only for him, but for them. To be the fragrance of Jesus, or for a deep work that he's doing in you so that he can do it through you at that location. He's strategic where he has you. He has certain people around you, and he wants to not only provide for you, but he wants to provide for them. You might be there to pray. There might be a gap that you see. I'm encouraging you to not point out the gap, but to stand in the gap and be known as a rebuilder of the wall. Wow, what a blessing that we get to do that. We just get to trust him and trust what he's doing. And then moving on in our passage, God says, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. This is also an unusual directive. Elijah was once again called to trust in the Lord and lean not on his own understanding. First of all, Zarephath was the homeland of Jezebel. And as we learned in our lesson last time, that Jezebel's father was the sovereign there. Elijah had been taken out of enemy territory, and now he was being called to go back into enemy territory. Zarephath was between Tyre and Sidon. Jesus mentions this place in Matthew 11:21-22, calling them wicked people. And this is where Elijah is called to go. Then he's called to go to a woman. Not just any woman, but a widow. Widows were the very first people to run out of food in a famine, run out of any provision in a famine. So going to a widow would be a strange directive. Also, it was going to be a Gentile woman, a Gentile widow. I love that all scripture points to Jesus. The Lord, in telling Elijah to go to this woman, it shows Jesus' heart for the widows and for the Gentiles, for the people outside the family who need help, and it shows that he wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of him. Romans 10:13 states, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Luke 19:10 states, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He goes after us. He helps us. He goes out of his way. Not just spiritually, but practically. He sends in his children. He sends in me and you who are actively hearing his voice to go practically meet our spiritual and physical needs. Just last week, he sent one of my sweet friends, Amy, who's here. He sent her to come and encourage me right when I needed it. I hadn't seen her in a long time. But God knew who to send, and in his perfect timing, she answered God's call to go. I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful when I have friends that are actively hearing God's voice and are willing to walk and do it for others. Then in James 2:15-17, it states that we are not just to speak comfort to them. Be warm, be filled, but we're practically to meet their needs. It says, if we do nothing to meet their needs, what good is it? What good are our words? This truly is the heart of Jesus. Psalm 146:9, the Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. I love this verse for this story. God protects. He goes after the ones outside of the family and inside of the family. He cares for the widows and orphans, and he will frustrate the plans of the enemy. God knows what he is doing. One of my very best friends, Kelly Arroyo, as many of you know her, she is a beautiful example of this. She works at a local hospital, but she also works internationally for Samaritan's Purse. She has been sent by God into enemy territory many times. She's also been sent where there's sick and dying people. They don't even know what's going on, but she boldly walks forth in God's direction, and she goes. This is why we call her Kelly the Brave. She did not consider her own health or well-being, but trusting in the Lord with all her heart, knowing God's voice, staying in close proximity to God. So when the call comes, she's ready. She waits on the Lord. She's always waiting and ready to go. And then when it's his will, he confirms it's his will. It's not always his will. There's times where she is called to stay, but she knows she's always called to go in prayer. Whether she's physically there or not, she's called to go there. She says she cannot go into these places without her prayer squad. And I and Terry and many of us get to go into these places with her in prayer. What a privilege to be a part of God's worldwide work that he's doing just simply in prayer. There's this documentary called Free Burma Rangers. And it's about this family, this couple that was called to go into Burma during a civil war. This civil war is still going on. It's been going on for a very long time. They didn't know how long they were going to be there, but they end up raising all of their children there. And people would ask them, is that even safe to bring your children up in these places? And she would simply reply, being in the center of God's will is the safest place on the planet. We can trust our God and his directions. Most of us will not be called into those places, but like I said, we're all called into those places in prayer. So moving on in our passage, verse 10. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. Elijah went. I'm assuming it was to a place he did not want to go, to a person he did not necessarily want to be with, and he was called to come hungry and thirsty to someone who is also hungry and thirsty. But he had to take a spiritual leap of faith, but a physical step in that direction that God told him to go in. This was not being called to Club Med. This was an uncomfortable place that seemed impossible, impossible to get provisions. His faith in what God said took a physical effort to move in. He couldn't put his own understanding in the mix. In James 2:17, it states that faith without action is dead. We are saved by grace through faith, and we demonstrate that faith through our trusting in God and walking out what he tells you to do. One step at a time. Isn't that great? He just makes it so easy. Just one step at a time. Don't go too far in front. Then it's overwhelming. Then we're putting our own understanding on it. So when I was 49, my husband had left, and I was living with my parents. I was reading my one-year Bible. God speaks to me so much, just for every day being in the one-year Bible. And God gives me this verse, leave your father's house and go to the land I will show you. And I'm all, is that for me? Like me? Leave my father's house? What? And then he said, how? He tells me, go knock on doors. And then he says, get moving. I was awake. I was like, whoa, okay. I call my precious friend who's a realtor, and I said, I think God's telling me to go knock on some doors. And so by knocking on doors, I went and viewed properties. I put an offer in into one property. But it didn't make sense to me. My ducks were not in a row. Everybody told me, your ducks have to be in a row. But I trusted God. I trusted his direction. And so I took a physical step in that direction. He closed the doors on many houses. But when it was the right house, he opened up the door. It was actually really impossible. I won't even go into the whole story, but all of it was impossible. But I knew I'd heard from God. I knew to walk in this direction, and I did. As soon as he gave me this house, I opened it up for ministry, and I gave it back to the God who gave it to me. Back to God, back to him for his great purposes. And little did I know I was getting this place ready for a man and his children to come into my life. He had not brought them in yet. But now I'm married to an amazing man, John Huang. He's a pastor here. And we have 3 of our 4 children living in God's provision. I love how he did that. He prepared that place ahead of time. He provides not only for us, but for others through the provision he gives to us. God is so faithful. So back to our story. Elijah asks for a cup of water. Her response makes him go further and ask for a piece of bread. But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in this house." The New King James Version, as we're studying, says, "As the Lord your God lives." Some English translations even go to say, "As surely as the Lord your God lives." This is remarkable. A Gentile woman living in a pagan culture recognizes Elijah, whose very name means Jehovah is my God. She recognizes him as a man whose Lord is Yahweh. Then she not only states she believes in the Lord, but also that he is surely alive. She pleads to this man knowing his God is alive and that he's serving the living God. God was in the process of reaching this woman in a land of idolatry to have a personal and radical encounter with the living God. She called him your living God, and she was on a journey towards verse 24 where she could confidently confess, "Now I know." We're all on this journey of God revealing himself to us through radical encounters with him. At first, many of us just simply said, "Lord, I believe." And as more and more time is spent with him, as we have seen his amazing hand in our lives and in others' lives, we can state with more and more assurance and more faith, "Now I know." So moving on in our passage, "And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of a jug. I was gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." First of all, this was the widow's last meal. She was in a desperate place. I love how God's timing is always perfect. So often he comes in the 11th hour, and he comes in that time to fill a need. A desperate need sometimes. It's not when we think he should come, but when he knows it's the best time to open our eyes to our great need for him. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 states that God's thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. They're higher and better than ours. In Jeremiah 29, 11, it states, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." His ways are higher than our ways. His timing is always perfect. We can rest in the fact that it's all for good and to give us a future and a hope. Secondly, I love that she was out there gathering sticks. She was doing what she could and was willing to give to Elijah out of her deficit. She was willing to give a glass of water to a stranger, to a foreigner, during a drought. We can learn so much from this. When we are in desperate situations, we can do what we can do. We can gather sticks, so to speak, and look outside of ourselves, outside of our overwhelming situations, and help others. we can pour out what we have and allow God to fill us up, knowing he will. I personally have seen this in my own life. After my first husband left, I was in a desperate situation. Walking was hard. Everything I did was hard. Everything took much effort because of the deep pain I was in and the perplexing situation that I found myself in. I didn't understand why, but I chose to trust the one who did, the God who sees, the God who knows. So when it was God's perfect timing, he opened up doors for me to serve. During that hard time, that deep time, he opened up doors for me to comfort others with the comfort that I was given. I just wanted to pull the covers over my head. I just wanted to wait for it to pass. But God knew that serving others and helping them in the same process I was in would bring much healing. His ways are higher and better. As I poured out, God exceedingly abundantly above poured in. And then he turned everything for good, which seemed impossible. But that's how good our God is. So back to our story. But Elijah said to her, this is in verse 13. But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops go again." This was going to be a test of faith to this woman in the God she called living. It went from her words to action. And as John Wong states, I had to put him in there, you know. Faith is believing you've heard from the Lord, then acting on it. We walk forward in faith, and God honors that. James 2, 14 through 18 states that we should be demonstrating our faith through our works. Faith is actively walking and doing what God's calling us to do. The widow was not just speaking her faith, but here she was going to actively demonstrate her faith. We're not saved by works. We are saved by grace and grace alone, but we are called to actively show we have faith through our works. As we see in this next passage, the widow did just that. She was simply asked to give what was in her hands through faith, and God used that faith to save her, her family, and Elijah. As we walk out our faith, he provides not only for us, but he provides for those around us. Verse 15, so she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough. There was always enough. Always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord has promised through Elijah. Today, do you find yourself in a place where you need to depend on God completely and totally? Maybe it makes no logical sense where God has you, but like Elijah, we can depend on our good Father to provide for us and through us provide for others. It will be in ways that are completely impossible so that we will give him all the glory. He receives all the praise for the things he has done. So people around us can see, surely our God is living. Like Elijah, I want to live a life marked by walking by radical faith, because I know that I know the living God. I know his word. I know his voice. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am waiting on him, resting where he has me, ready to move where he tells me to move, ready to actively use that faith to go. As I do that, as I take a step into what he is telling me to go in, I will see the wonders of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the greatness, the vastness of my God. I will see his ways and thoughts are higher than mine. I will be a living testament of what God can do through this ordinary girl as he gifts me with extraordinary faith. We can be like prophets in this way. May our lives just point to the one who sees, who hears, who knows the ways we should take, whose thoughts for us are for good to give us a future and a hope. And all this is accomplished not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Okay, I'm going to do something old school today, and I need your help because I cannot sing. I'm going to sing that song. So those of you that remember that song, I just want to leave you with this jingle in your head, that no matter what you're facing today, it's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, he said. Okay, here I go. Please sing with me. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God bless you.